Drive Time Radio with New York Vinny.
Very good Saturday morning.
Recording in progress.
Drive Time Radio. My name is New York Vinny, and we are in the beautiful city of Seattle, Washington, where, I don't know, it's one of those days where you got to try to figure out the weather, I guess. I mean, I know what Nathan just said, but as we all know, it's always tough with weather because, you know, especially here, I mean, you could be saying one thing one minute and be up in Edmonds, and it's a whole different story, you know. Welcome to Seattle, right? It is breezy. It feels like rain here, but yet my house is like cooking hot. It feels like I'm in an oven this morning. Anyway, how you doing today? Everything going all right? Good, 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 good. We got a good show for you today. Our good friend Scotty Reese is going to join us a little bit later from A Girl's Guide to Cars. She has some exciting news. It has a little bit of a local angle on it. So we'll get to talk to her and what she's driven lately, and if you are a woman and you are in the market for an automobile, she is her website has invaluable tools for you to use when you go out to buy a car, if that is what you're going to do. I'm working with a little bit of a dry throat this morning, so excuse me if I sip the tea here. Lots going on in the automotive world this week, this morning. Lots of things good. Things are flying by now. This is, listen, I know if you listen to this show week to week, you know how much of an advocate I am of electric cars. I think it's definitely the future. Let me just step back a second. The future is going to be a combination of cars, but you're probably your regular passenger car, the car that you drive to work in every day, the truck that you drive for work. Maybe you go around on route sales, or you're a roofer, or you're a repair person that has a delivery person. The truck that you drive will more than likely be electric, especially with the passage of this past week of the Fight Inflation Act. Great name. But the reality is that there are a number of incentives in that bill to get you to go out and buy an electric car. And we'll be covering those, and we will be covering more and more electric car stuff as we progress, because you're going to have to know about it. You're going to have to be educated about these things, what to buy, what not to buy, what to stay away from, which charger to use, it's as I have said many times, it's just a revolution going on right in front of our eyes in the automotive world. So that's something that we will keep you up on. The bill that was passed this past week includes tons of electric vehicle credits. But, and there's always a but in these things, but wait, there's more. The system as we know it is going to disappear once President Biden puts his signature on that bill. So Monday, Tuesday. The new law will still give tax credits, and in some instances will wipe away, you know, if a manufacturer gets to a certain amount of vehicles, the tax credit goes away, electric vehicles. In some instances, that will be erased. That slate will be wiped clean. Here's the other side of the coin, though. After that bill goes into law, into effect, and I forget what it is for a bill to, how many days after he signs it actually goes into effect. But let's say 90 days, okay? Let's say 30 days. 30 days that bill goes into effect. The tax credits that you can enjoy now on many vehicles will go away, because there's a proviso in that bill that batteries and a large majority of the parts in that car must be manufactured in the United States and must be manufactured by union help. So that's really gonna, or I think a certain number has to be done by union help. I don't know the whole scenario there, but it's going to change what types of vehicles qualify. It's meant to bring jobs back to America. Now, many of these vehicles are being made in America already. They're just Korean or Japanese or German-sourced parts. And President Biden and the Democrats decided that they would try to fix that situation. And from going forward, say, all right, let's get these vehicles made here. But it's going to take time to set up those supply chains and the things and, you know, these different manufacturers. I mean, they're working. If you go back to Ohio and Southern California and Indiana and Pennsylvania, I mean, they're working on these batteries. It, you know, it looks like the moonshot project, you know. I mean, as scientists and people that are trying to create batteries that will give you more range. There's also people working on the charging system so that there's more charges so that you have more range. They're trying to get you out of that range anxiety that so many of us feel when you get into an electric car. Will I be able to go as far as I want to go? And the answer to that is, yeah, but it's going to take a little bit of thinking. You're going to see the stupider people stuck on the side of the road. Like me, probably one day. We're, you know, waiting for AAA to come with their EV charger. But the provisos in the bill means that if you are thinking of buying an electric car, if you're in the market, if you're saying, well, you know, I've been thinking about that. Well, get out there and get it. Based on the U.S. assembly requirement, the only cars that are actually being made right now that will qualify for the new federal rebate will be the Cadillac Lyriq, the Chevy Bolt EV and EUV, the Ford F-150 Lightning, the Ford Mustang Mach-E, GMC Hummer EV, Lucid Air, Nissan Leaf, Rivian R1S and R1T, the Tesla Model 3, Model X and Model Y, and the Volkswagen ID4, the Chevy Silverado EV, and the Tesla Cybertruck will qualify, if they ever make the Tesla Cybertruck, will also qualify under the rules. There's also a price limit for the program. So if you go out and you buy a loaded one, $55,000 for sedans, $80,000 for SUVs, you may, if you go over that, you may not qualify for the federal tax credit. If you are a single tax filer and you make over $150,000, which you have to do to live in Seattle, right? You will not qualify for the credit. Married couples filing taxes together are capped at $300,000 household income. And head of household is capped at $225,000. So it's going to get more complex to buy one of these cars. I think, you know, I don't agree with this language, you know, the way this lays out. I think it's going to hinder, and I think there'll have to be some changes to this thing on the way. So the bottom line here is, if you're thinking about buying a Kia EV6, if you're thinking about buying a Kona, Hyundai Kona, if you're thinking about buying the Ioniq 5, the Ioniq 6, the BMW, all those, if you're thinking of buying one of those, get out and buy it this weekend. Get out and buy it before this law goes into effect, because the discounts on those cars may go away. Now, you'll still enjoy, of course, the benefits of the clean air and everything, but you really have to, you're going to have to pay a little bit of attention to this, if you are in the market for an electric car. That full $7,500 rebate on cars where they still apply, get it. Now, if they have it, buy it. You know what you got in your hand right now, $7,500. You don't know what you're going to be able to buy for sure until the automakers can catch up with all the supply stuff, and we know how that's going. Now, if you're going to wait a while, if you're saying, well, I'm still not sold on this, you'll be okay. I think that these credits, by the time they get everything rolling, by the time the manufacturers manufacture these cars, get them all rolling, I think that, you know, that a lot of that material will be sourced here, assembled here. They're putting battery factories in, like, I think, 5 new states. New factories in 5 states. The largest chip plant in the world is going to go in Ohio. So, that is along with the chip bill. So, you know, if don't get caught in the middle. If you know you want one, buy it now. If you're not sure, sit back, watch the circus, and when you're ready, buy your car. And I think that's, I think that's something to pay attention to. And these cars are going to be, as I've said before, I love them. I think they're going to be great cars. I think that once the infrastructure of the charging systems gets worked out, which they've just committed billions of dollars to do that, so that you're going to see charging stations in all sorts of places, and the DC chargers, the good ones, the heavy load ones, the ones that will get you 80% of battery in 20 minutes. So that's this week's on the electric front. That's what you need to do. A couple of things I also want to remind you about. Shoreline Cars and Coffee is going on this morning. We're not there, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be. And my good friend Terry over in Kirkland is hanging out at the Kirkland Cars and Waterfront Car Show this morning. So if you're over on the east side and you want to see some groovy cars, I mean, you don't have people in Kirkland. They got tons of money. They got nice, hot rods. So what else is going on? Oh, yes, the General Motors, General Motors can't help but step on their own feet. It's amazing. So, General Motors, I don't know if I told you about this story last week or not, but it bears repeating. So, you want to buy a General Motors car. You know they have that OnStar where you hit the button, it tells you where to go, it tells you the directions, you can order food, you can have Amazon deliver something to your car. I mean, it's unbelievable what you have there. And General Motors has now decided that they are going to charge you for a 3-year subscription to OnStar on certain cars. You can't refuse it. You have to, if you want to buy that car, you have to buy the $1,500 subscription for 3 years for OnStar. Now, you cannot turn the OnStar on, but you still got to pay the $1,500 to buy that car. It seems to be centered around Buicks, some Cadillacs, and some GMC products, which are the SUVs. But it looks like if you go out and buy a 2023 Escalade for what are those things are going north of $100,000. You are going to have to buy this Fakakta OnStar. Now, look, I should say it because OnStar, I think, is an excellent thing to have. I'm driving a Chevy pickup this week. It has OnStar in it, has the hot spot. I think it's a great tool to have in the car. You can shut the car off. If your kid's driving the car and they don't come home, you can shut the thing off. If there's a police pursuit, they can shut the thing off. It's an invaluable tool. If you drive it down, you flip down the street, you flip your car over, it automatically calls 911, tells them where you are. I think it's one of the greatest things ever invented for a car. But you should have the option. It either should be standard equipment. This is also something that automakers are doing with heated seats and all these other different options are becoming subscription services. You know, they nail you for $9 a month for your heated seats. I mean, when you're spending $80,000 on a car, and you're going to have to pay $9 a month to have your heated seats. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's the age we live in. Somebody figured out that half the people that have these subscriptions, even long after they don't use them anymore, still keep the subscriptions. You think of, can you go look and go get a list of all your subscriptions? See how much a month you're paying out that you don't really pay out anymore, that you don't use. So GM's catching on to that, and I'm telling you, it's coming. BMW's been doing it for a while, and I think you're going to see it with a lot of other automakers, as well as the subscription system. We'll get into full tilt boogie. All right, what else we have here? Genesis GV90. Beautiful. They're all electric SUV. Showed it off this week. Beautiful car. I'm so in love with Genesis. It isn't funny. It's just such a great car. They have really hit the nail on the head with this machine. When you see it, you'll marvel at the design, the safety, all of the stuff that goes into that car. So take a look for the GV90. I think it's probably about a year out till it's in showrooms, but it will be, I think, a spectacular SUV, electric SUV, and seems like good value for the dollar. Also, an update on the story we brought you last week. Remember the Batmobile story? The guy that makes the Batmobiles, the guy who wanted to send the cops and everything. Well, it looks like now the San Mateo County District Attorney is going to look, San Mateo, California Town Council is now looking into this whole deal, because the guy that filed a complaint is a friend of the sheriff. And the sheriff is nowhere to be found all of a sudden after sending a squad of officers to execute a search warrant in Elkhart, Indiana. Logansport, Indiana. So if you didn't see the story last week, there's a guy that makes Batmobiles. You can buy for $200,000 your own Batmobile. Drive it down the street, take your kids to school, have fun with it. A guy bought one, was a real estate guy down in San Mateo. He didn't contact the manufacturer. They dropped him to the bottom of the list. The guy got all upset. He called his buddy the sheriff. The sheriff sent like four officers to Logansport, Indiana, served this guy with an arrest warrant for theft. You know, some days you just wonder. You just wonder what the heck people are thinking. All right, you're listening to Drive Time Radio right here on 1150 KKNW. And it's a Saturday morning. We get a chance now, excuse me one second, to welcome in a good friend of mine, somebody I've known for years. She's helped me immensely in this business, been a mentor, a friend, and just really somebody that has done, I think, a fantastic job, not only as a journalist and not only as somebody who is able to, write about cars, report about lifestyles, things like that, but also able to do it with a unique angle of how women look at cars, which, as we all know, is something that's been taken for granted for a long time by you, me, car dealers, mechanics. I'm telling you, try being a woman and walking into a mechanic sometime. The horror stories I could tell you. And I'm not a woman, but I've worked in a mechanic shop. I've seen the dynamic of it. Scotty Reese fights that through a website, her website called A Girl's Guide to Cars. She educates people, and she makes them more aware of the pitfalls and pratfalls that they have to go through to buy a car, get a car fixed, change a tire, I mean, you know, everything. And she joins us now this morning. Good morning, Scotty. How are you?
Good morning, Vinny. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see your smiling face.
Nice to see you, too.
You know, we can all smile a little bit again now that not that COVID's gone, but at least we're kind of out in the world again.
Yeah, absolutely. It is certainly nice to be out and doing the things we love to do and getting in our cars and going there.
Yes, the freedom is back.
Yes.
Oh, man. So you had some pretty big news that actually concerns a local thing here, you know, Microsoft, about your website.
Yeah
tell us. Yeah, a little
so about it. We have been invited to join the Microsoft network of content. And so if you go to MSN, or even better, Microsoft Start, which is the content vertical that's available on every Microsoft device. So you open your tablet or your Microsoft browser, and you're greeted with a lot of content. Well, A Girl's Guide to Cars will be in that mix. And we're pretty excited about this because they did something that's really novel. And in the past, things like Apple News and Yahoo and those kinds of things, they just would pick up content from other places and feature that, and people would be very excited. But there wasn't always, not completely, not cut and dried, but there wasn't always incentive for every content outlet to be there. The numbers are enormous, and they reach a lot of people, but they don't always pay very well. And then you look at sites like Huffington Post, which invites people to post stories to their site for free. So it's nice to reach those eyeballs and brand yourself, but you don't necessarily earn an income off of that. Well, Microsoft is paying all of the content creators in the network a portion, a rev share of the revenue that they generate from that. So they actually take a more, it's a really great partnership, and I'm so excited to be there. They take a very engaged look at how they're sharing content. So they look at the content that I submit to their site, and if their editors think it will do well, then they put it on the main page and they put it in the auto section. And if it's not something that they have seen will be, super clickable, then they'll leave it in the automotive section, but they won't necessarily promote it. So that gives me the opportunity to look at what they're promoting and give them more of that kind of content. So not only am I exposing our brand, I've seen a couple of metrics. One is I've seen some of our stories do really well on Microsoft Network, and so the Microsoft MSN and Microsoft Start. And then I've also seen people coming over to A Girl's Guide to Cars for Microsoft. So I'm really excited to be a part of this network, and thanks for inviting me on to talk about it.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, you've worked really hard. I mean, I really admire, the work that you've put in. I mean, I know you for a long time now, and you're just one of those people that you look at and you say you can be successful in this business, in publishing, in media, if you apply your work ethic to it. You have a great work ethic, and you have fun doing what you're doing, which is also important. I mean, you know, sometimes you see people been in this business a long time. They look like they've been beat up and burnt out.
Yeah, it is. I will say The automotive is when I find some of the hardest working people that I know working in automotive, because it takes a lot of different disciplines. You really need to know cars. You really need to keep up with trends. You really need to understand how this business works. It doesn't work like any other business on earth. Yes. And then if you're in the media side of it, you have to figure out how to get that content in front of consumers. And, you know, I keep feeling like with media is probably the toughest business that there is. And I am not even kidding. The pay can be really dismal. The work can be really hard. And, you know, it can be one of these things that you do, an industry that you go into or business you go into because you really love it. And you better really love it because it can be the cycles can be very up and down. But every time I think we have hit a new low in how media monetizes, then we seem to go lower. So, but I have faith. I have faith. And one of the things that is really, really interesting in terms of the Microsoft MSN and Microsoft Start content verticals is that they are curating and bringing very specific content to audiences, and they're paying attention. It's not necessarily automated. It's automated, of course, to a certain degree, but there are people there behind the scenes who are making decisions. There are editors there. And so the content is really designed to come to you as the reader and as the audience that's something that's truly of value and of interest. And I'm seeing trends in content right now, not just automotive, but if you look at some of the streaming services, if you look at how advertisers have to be more clever about how they put their advertising message in front of audiences. Yeah. If you look at what people are choosing to spend their money on, more and more streaming services that are paid for by the viewers. They're not necessarily paid for by the advertisers anymore, paid for by viewers. So we're seeing more and more curated content, and content really starting to take on a life as something that people are willing to pay for, and that content creators can make a living. And for a while, probably the last 10 years, we were questioning there are companies out there promoting AI that will create content. And they're, you know, I see them on Facebook, I see them on Instagram, which is really kind of ironic, but I see them in these services saying, you know, you can buy this service and it will write your blog post for you. And I shudder because, you know, pretty soon we're going to be building robots that read the content. We already do, actually, that read the content. So where is the human factor? And then where is the value for you as a person who is shopping for a car, needs a solution to a problem you're having, that you want to make sure the mechanic or the garage is telling you the right story, to knowing whether or not your tires are safe, and or do you need new tires before the first snowfall of the year? You know, those kinds of solutions, you really need people on the other side of those answers who you can trust. And yeah, it's just so hard to trust AI and trust bots when it comes to, you know, putting my children's life in jeopardy because I might trust the wrong source on a new set of tires.
Yeah, it's really, yeah, I mean, you bring up such a good point is that, you know, we figure, oh, if it's on the internet, it must be true, you know, so, and you don't know that there's a robot in Zimbabwe, you know, some faraway country has no idea what the needs are, but because it's been programmed to say, okay, this, or even worse, some company has paid that robot to say, to sell their product. And don't say it doesn't happen, because it absolutely happens. And you know, maybe somewhere in small print or in a whisper, you'll hear this content is paid or this or that. But you have to, you really have to know your, who you're dealing with on the internet. And that's what I like about your site is you're there. You're the people that write with you are there. You see the people, you hear the video. I mean, you can touch the person that's writing the article on your site. And that's one of the things really like.
We are 100% human. 100% human. Thank you. I appreciate that because it's, you know, it's true. We make mistakes, but we are able to build a trust factor. And that's what a lot of automotive outlets, especially when you're shopping for a car, you're looking for information. Your car is too valuable of an asset because you spend so much money on it, but also is critical to getting to work, getting your kids to school, getting the groceries into your kitchen, that very necessary trip, whether it's, to visit your in-laws on Thanksgiving or the getaway vacation in the summer. Your car is a critical member of the family. You need to go to a trustworthy source for information about it. And I think that that's where really what we're seeing, that's so important in automotive, but I think that's what we're seeing more and more when it comes to media, is that trust. We've been in a huge, huge deficit of trust over the last, 5 or 6 years, where people are trusting sources in media that they should not trust. And placing their trust in somebody who is really there just to make money and will tell them anything. We'll tell them anything that they're willing to believe. And I sense that we're moving away from that. And that just makes it really is not only a welcome idea, but wow, it just restores my faith in humanity.
Scotty Reese from Girls Guide to Cars is with us, which can, of course, be found at girlsguidetocars.com. There's a lot of talk in the industry right now about moving away from, we see it with Ford, the Carvana, while they don't make a lot of money, has really shown that people don't like the dealer experience. People are moving away, trying to move away from it. Tesla has done it successfully. Is not having a car dealer to go to, but looking at things online, is that going to help women, maybe people who are timid, to go into a car dealership? It's like the most horrible, everybody continually says it's the most horrible thing. I'll pay somebody to go in to the dealership for me. Is this new age of going online and ordering your car and so on and so forth, is that a good thing for, underserved populations of people that buy cars?
So the truth is, information equals confidence. And those are the things that you want, is information, and you want confidence in making your car purchase decision. So if you have the basics, if you know the features that you want and need in a car, if you know how much you can afford to spend overall and in a monthly payment, if you know what your credit rating is, so you know what interest rate you can afford to pay, if you know what the value of your trade-in is or how much you have to put down on a car, you can put all of that information into a configurator online. You can use something like Capital One Auto Navigator, which will actually qualify you for a loan and help you with that process of finding that car and knowing what what all the different pieces are. So when you go into the dealership and you know the car you want is on the lot, you know how much your down payment is or your trade-in is worth, you know what your interest rate is, you know that you've been approved for a loan, and you know the features on that car that you want, you're able to tell if the dealer's trying to switch you to a different car. Oh, well, we don't have the gray one anymore, but we have this yellow one. And oh, I don't want the yellow one. Or, okay, I'm open to yellow, but does it have the features that I want? What you've done is you have just fast-forwarded the conversation. The reason people don't like going to a dealership is because they're walking into a world completely unprepared. I like to think of it as donning the football uniform and the shoulder pads, and the very first time you walk out on a field, walking into an NFL game. I'm going to get crushed. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this. I haven't practiced. I don't know the rules of the game. I have never played. So, why you wouldn't do that? Why would you walk into a dealership completely unprepared? I do think we're going to see two things in the future. One is, I think we're going to see dealerships are going to remain a staple of how cars are delivered and serviced in this country. It's like that in every country. Dealers are, whether they're independent franchises or owned by the manufacturers, they're a critical component of how cars are sold and serviced anywhere. So that's one. But I think a second thing that we're going to see is we're going to see more and more integrated consumer journeys where you're able to do your research online, go to the manufacturer site, ask questions, look at the features that you want. And then at some point, your shopping journey is going to be handed over to the dealer, where the dealer can then help you find the right loan. It might be their loan, it might be your credit union or Capital One or something else. Assure that they have the car that you want, that has the features that you want. And they may not have it on the lot right now, but they might say, oh, you know what? We've got one coming in 2 weeks that has every single one of these features. This is the price, the MSRP, and bring your car over. We will assess it and give you a trade-in value. Then you have a choice. You can either trade it to them, or you can sell it privately. You could take it to CarMax and sell it. So there, you're going to see more and more integrated experiences with the dealer. That's something we're seeing right now with a number of brands. Volkswagen is starting to do this. Genesis is rolling this out. TrueCar has a much more highly dealer integrated shopping process. So it's something that we're starting to see, and I think we're going to see a lot more of. And ultimately, really what it will do is, I think the big benefactor here will actually be the dealership, because they are no longer going to need to have a bunch of people standing around trying to pressure very unhappy customers into buying things they don't want. Just right. Sell them what they want and bring another customer in behind them. Don't try to sell a bunch of stuff that nobody wants. And that's really where people develop that, have that bad reputation, bad opinion of dealers, yeah, is for being pressured like to buy things they don't want.
You go in, you buy a computer, and then, you know, they sell you accessories. They try to get you the right computer and so on and so forth. And let's face it. I mean, in the Tesla places I've been, that's what the feel is to it. It's like an Apple store. You go in, you know, there's a set price. This is where, you know, you don't go and buy a computer and say, well, you know, it's $9.99, but I want to give you $7.99 for it. You know, you don't do that. And it does take, you know, this whole system that you're talking about would take that apprehension, that negotiation, that piece of it out of it, and maybe make a happier customer experience for you know, men, women, children, dogs, whoever wants to
and
buy.
We're already seeing it. We're already seeing it now across all brands that don't have they just don't have a lot of inventory. So, you know, back in the day, think about 2019, and you would go to a car dealer. And you may be looking for, I'm just going to pull one out of the air, a Hyundai Elantra. And you would go to a Hyundai dealer, and there would be like 100 Elantras, identical Elantras sitting on the lot. And so that dealer needed to spend $500 a car, give a discount of $500 per car to get those off the lot. And it would take months. It would take 2 or 3 months for all those cars to sell. Well, now we're looking at, you might see one or two, or you might not see any. The dealer might say, well, you know, we've got one, I think I've got one coming in on a truck next Wednesday, but I don't have any right now. And they might have one that's a demo model, but they won't sell that. They will allow you to take a test drive, but that one doesn't get sold. And then on top of that, instead of that $500 discount, they are selling these cars at MSRP. Now, let's look at before and after. So 2019, the average price of a new car was $36,000. 3 years later, 2022, the average price of a car is $46,000. That's an unprecedented jump. And the reason that we're seeing that is because dealers have so little inventory, they're actually able to sell every car MSRP or above. They're able to say, you know what, I only have one, and I am asking for $1,000 premium on this car. And if you're willing to pay that, it's yours right now. And a lot of people look at it and they go, $46,000, $47,000. Okay, I'll do it. I need the car. So there, you know, we're seeing a lot more of that happening. And what that's doing is that's driving up the average price of a car. So if you don't want to pay a premium for a car, then doing your research, knowing you can look and see at any dealer site what cars are on their site and what car on their lot and what cars, very often they'll tell you what cars are coming in their next delivery as well. So if you want to pay the MSRP, then do your research and do your homework and know exactly what you're looking for and where that is. Shop a little wider. So not just the dealer down the street, but think of maybe a 100-mile radius. Think about driving to the next town over or the next county or the next big city where you might find a better deal.
Yeah. It's, you know, you have the tools. All you have to do is apply. Scotty, quickly, what have you driven lately that you like? What's your favorite thing you've driven in the last few years?
Well, it's always the last car I drove, or usually the last car I drove, which was the Hyundai 2023 Hyundai Palisade. Just came off of that drive. Can't yet talk about what I think about the drive experience because all the stories will publish on Monday. So we're holding that back to Monday, but I will have a video and I will have a story on A Girl's Kind of Cars on Monday. But the news is they gave it a refreshed new look on the front. They did not take away anything that the Palisade was really good at before, but they added more features and more high-end options. And it still is under $50,000. Even with all-wheel drive, the top of the line, under $50,000, right at $50,000. So it's an incredible deal, a three-row SUV. Hyundai really did a great job with that when they came out with it in 2020. And they've made it slightly better. It has a new face on it. It looks great. And that was a real delight.
That car even makes me look good. That's such a nice car.
That car makes everybody look good, Vinny. It's a good car.
Scotty, it's so good to catch up with you. Let's do this again. Let's not let so much Absolutely. Time go by before we have our conversation. It's A Girl's Guide to Cars. That's the site. And yes, it's very women oriented, but I go on it and I find a good thing and I'm quien mas mucho macho. So you're a guy, sit down with your girlfriend, your wife, you know, and go through it if you're thinking about buying a car, or if you just like cars. Scotty, take care of yourself. It's good to see you. I'll talk to you soon.
Nice to see you, Vinny. Thanks.
Good to see you, Scotty. Thank you so much. Scotty Reese joining us from A Girl's Guide to Cars. She does a great job, as I said, with just putting you where you need to be. All right, time now for our Saturday morning cartoon. Can't do it if we don't do it. It's summertime. That means it's time for the beach and the Jersey Shore. And one of the seminal bands of the Jersey Shore is Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. Johnny Lyon and his boys have been together for years and have provided the soundtrack for so many summers. I really, the song we're going to use is one that's a standard. You probably have heard it a million times, but I don't think you've ever heard it this way. Here's Expressway to Your Heart from Southside Johnny. Here you go, Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes with this morning's Saturday morning cartoon. Of course, we do it because cars and music go together so well, and we do it every Saturday morning, so there you go. Nathan is our erstwhile producer, and he always chimes in on a Saturday morning with the question that really America wants to know. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Vinny.
How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. How beautiful sunny week as usual in August in Seattle.
Yeah. Oh, man. How's your there's two things I wanted to ask you. Number one, you were you at that game on what was it, Tuesday night, that crazy Yankee game?
Oh man, do I wish I was there.
Oh, was that something?
I was not there. That's like one of those games where you're going to bed and you're just like, well, the game's still going on. I'm gonna pull it onto my phone, and 2 hours later you're past your bedtime with your eyes glued to the screen watching the Mariners game. And even then, after that, you can't go to sleep because you all the adrenaline from what happened.
Yeah. I mean, I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I was like, oh man, this is like awesome. And matter of fact, I wound up calling a couple of my friends in New York just to rub it in a little bit.
I can't think of another game where I texted so many people or contacted them saying, "Did you see that game?" I mean, that was probably the best Mariners game I've ever seen. I mean, definitely the best extra innings game, but it is something to behold.
There was one in 2001, I think it was against the Red Sox, I think, and it was 19 innings and night game. And I think, if I remember right, Mike Cameron hit the home run that won it or something like that in the bottom of the 19th. And, I mean, it was like crazy. You know, I think the game ended like at 2:30 in the morning or something like that. It was awesome. It really was. All right, good. Well, I'm glad that I'm happy the Mariners are doing good. The Seahawks start up today in Pittsburgh, so we got a lot of sports going on, but we talk about cars here, so I think you probably should ask me a question, Nathan.
Yo, Vinny, what are you driving this week?
Oh, Nathan, I thought you would never ask. I had the pleasure this week, Nathan, of driving. Oh, you're going to love this. Are you an off-road guy, Nathan?
Not as much. I do like going on an off-road road, but as far as, you know, true off-roading and rock crawling, that's nothing I've really done before.
Yeah, this thing I'm driving this week is the big papa of off-roading. It is the 2023, it's the second week in a row I've driven the 23, Chevy Silverado ZR2 6.2 liter monster. I mean, the thing is a monster truck. There's actually a little thing on the side that says you must be this tall to drive to ride this ride. It's enormous. I sent you a couple of pictures there. I don't know if you could dig them up, but if you can't, it's so big, it's bold. You have to climb into it. You're not going to get stuck anywhere in this truck. I mean, this truck is going to handle just about anything you can throw at it. And from a perspective of off-roading, where, you know, you're going through potholes, you got to go down a ditch, you got to cross Florida riverbed and all that kind of stuff, it's incredible. It's comfortable. I mean, it's big, it's huge. You sit in the seats and they just envelop you. It's high-tech. It has that's it sitting in the driveway. And I mean, look at the size of that thing. I mean, that's unreal. And of course, the red signifies, I guess, the ZR2 designation. The suspension is beefed up. It has enormous tires. I don't think you could. I mean, again, short of a Land, you know, like a one of those Army Land Rovers or a, you know, a Jeep CJ5 or something like that. I don't know that anybody would need anything more to go off-road than what you're seeing on this thing. It's definitely going to give Ram and Ford a run for their money, which is good, because the Silverado, let's face it, over the last few years has been kind of in third place in this kind of stuff. The Colorado has done well, but the Silverado, not so much. But this thing really, ups the game for Chevy a lot. As I said, inside, the different options that are geared toward the person who's going to pull a trailer, the person who is going to take it hunting. One of the smart things they've done in this car is put a camera in the front, because one of the bad things about this vehicle is that you can't really see in front of it. I mean, if there's a little kid in a crosswalk when you are in crossing the street and a light turns green, it's almost impossible to see him. And that's the one thing about these cars, is you really have to be careful. There should be federal legislation that says when that brake goes on one of these cars, the front camera gets activated. It's one of the scary flaws, not just in the Silverado, but in any one of these trucks that are jacked up and high up like that. You just can't see people. If a smaller woman is walking in front of you and they got a baby cat, you can't see them. So you have to fix that. Horrible fuel economy on this thing, too. It's... I mean, it sucks, guess. I think it gets 10 miles to the gallon is what I'm seeing so far. 420 horsepower, 6.2 liter V8. Not as crazy as the Raptor or the TRX, but it'll probably pull the same house down that either one of those will. So you really have a really intense truck that comes right off of the showroom floor. You can buy everything that you would have put in from a aftermarket manufacturer is in this truck. So it's a wild one. I think it's going to be a winner for Chevy. The one I'm testing currently driving this week is running, 73,000, I think. And that puts it in under the Raptor and the TRX. I think the TRX is about 80 grand. You imagine 80? Oh, Lord. Anyway, go drive. If this is your type of truck, and it's not for everybody, go drive this thing. And then get a cousin with a gas station, because that's what you're going to need with this thing, because it does suck down the gas. But I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun, man, especially because it'll tow up to 8,900 pounds. This is one of those vehicles that you can take and you can hook a trailer up to, go off and find that cabin by the lake. That's exactly what this is designed for. And again, just a beautiful vehicle that, gives you, for what it is, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it really, Chevy has regained some of their ground that they lost when they fell behind Ford with the Raptor and Ram with the TRX. It'll be interesting to see what the electric version of the Silverado is like when that comes out of the box in the not-too-distant future. Going to really be, it's going to be, it's definitely something worth checking out. So, again, that's the Chevy Silverado for 2023. The 1500 ZR2, excuse me, with the 6.2 liter, it'll knock your socks off, as it did mine. All right, next week, what were you going to say, Nathan? Okay, Nathan, next week we're going to talk about car magazines. You're not going to want to miss this. You could have thousands of dollars in your basement. I'm doing some research on this, and it's incredible. Absolutely incredible what these magazines are going for in places like eBay, if you have some of these old hot rod magazines. That'll wrap it up for us. We thank you so much for listening to the show, to our guest, of course, to Nathan, our producer, and to George Jackson, my good friend who helps sponsor this show. By all means, if you need promotional items for your business, check him out on Facebook, George Jackson Enterprises. Good guy, quality stuff, and he will help your business out. Thank you so much. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock for Drive Time Radio. I'm New York Vinny. We'll see you next week if the Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. Have a good one.